God sees you. And the lesson has at its base the purpose, the objective of increasing our awareness that God does see the world and has a keen interest in what the world does. And, you know, we would have seen in inspiration the Almighty God indicating to us that he loves the world to the extent that he gave himself, he gave his only begotten son to save the world. And in fact, let's start there. In St. John chapter 3, verse 16 following, you know, a passage that we are largely familiar with. Could we have that read? Pick up at verse 15. St. John 3, 15.
Eternal life, for God gave his only part, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
All right, so here we are seeing that the Almighty God so loved the world, he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Continue reading. Verse 17. For God sent not his son
into the world to condemn the world.
I want us to see what is happening here. We are seeing over and over the indication that God loves the world. He loved the world. He gave his only begotten son and sent him into the world to not to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ
might be saved.
So it is very clear that God wants the world to be saved. And this is a fact. We can't dispute this. Before the world was even created, God in his nature, the all-knowing, the omniscient, the omnipresent God, who sees the past, the present, and the future in one view, recognized that the world needed saving and made provision in Jesus Christ to save the world. But listen to verse 18. So he's talking about the world. He loves the world. He doesn't want to condemn the world. He wants to save the world. And then verse 18 says something interesting.
He that believeth on him.
The world that believeth on him. He. So while God Almighty is talking about the world, he now places in focus, and this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. It says, he
that believeth on him is not condemned.
But didn't he just say that he doesn't want to condemn the world? But then he diverts, he narrows. And now he speaks to the person, not the entire world. And he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned.
That's right.
Are we getting it? God sees you. God sees me. God sees the individual. Though he is interested in the world at large, his attention is narrowed down to the individual. So he that believeth on him is not condemned. Read on.
But he that believeth not.
But he, see the he again? He that believeth
not
is condemned.
Is condemned already.
Because?
Because he hath not.
Because he
hath not believed.
Hath not believed in the name of the only begotten.
The only begotten Son
of God. So, let us remove the concept that all God is interested in is a big wide world. Let us recognize that the Almighty God is interested in the me. He's interested in you. As much as he wants the world to be God-fearing, he is interested in you. He's interested in what you do and what I do. He's interested in saving us as an individual. And this forms the base of what the lesson is about. And what we want to do is to scan inspiration. I said, Brother Webby, we're going to scan the entire Bible in the Sunday night lesson. All right, I'll pick out some stuff. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to start at Genesis, and I'm going to end in Revelation. That's okay? And I'll make a stop in between. All right? So, let us start that journey in Genesis chapter 6. And we'll pick up at verse number 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we'll pick up at verse 6.
And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth.
You know what? Let's pick up at verse 1. Just to get the full context.
Began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years.
Yeah.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them.
You can jump down to verse 5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth.
So God looked on and saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And so God was scanning the world again and saw that the heart of men was desperately wicked. And it goes on, well, let's read on.
And that every of the heart was evil continually.
Yes. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, that he had created mankind. And it grieved him at his heart. So here it is, God having created the world and placed man there, that as time progressed, wickedness, sin was prevalent in the world, and God was sorry. He regretted that he had made man. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said in verse 7, I will destroy man
whom I have created from the face.
I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to destroy mankind that I had created. I'm going to destroy him from the face of the earth. Not only am I going to destroy man, because I am disappointed with what how things has unfolded, but I'm going to destroy
both man and
beast
and the creeping things and the fowls of the air.
Fowls of the air.
For it repented me that I have made them.
For it repented me that I had made them. And you know, even this is interesting. Because when God created the world, you know, he said he created the world. But he, inspiration, was careful to record, you know, that he created man, that he created the animals, he created. He looks at the individual things. So God is, in a sense, keen on the macro, the big, but he's also interested in the micro, in the very small things too. And here it is that in his indication that he's going to destroy the world and destroy the earth, that he's pinpointing again, not just man, beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. He's spelling it out. God does not get lost on the big thing. You know, some of us, we are in organizations, and depends on where we are, we look at the big picture. You know, we tell ourselves we don't get lost on the small things. You know, and we are encouraged, don't look at the trees, you know, look at the forest, you know, look at the big picture. But what we are seeing with the Almighty God is that though he's seeing the big picture, he looks at the small things too. And what are we doing? We are tracing and seeing that from the beginning of time, this was God's disposition. And we are going to see that even when he is recording in the last book, that we are going to see that this disposition of God continues to be so. What is this disposition? Well, this disposition, this inclination, this characteristic of God is that though he's seeing the entire world, he's also seeing the individual. So let's continue. So it repented me that I have made them. So God was resolute. He made his decision. I am going to destroy the earth. That's God's game plan. Let's read verse 8.
But Noah found grace.
But, you see that but? This but is a grand contrast. So while he is looking at the entire earth and says the very imagination of man is wicked, continually evil. But verse 8 says, but. And what that but does is to give us a contrast. So while the Almighty God is upset, he regrets, he is repenting of the fact that he even ventured into this creation business, we see the but. But Noah
found
grace
in the eyes of the Lord.
Of the Lord. And we should be getting an amen right here. Because no matter how bad things are, no matter how God looks down and is disappointed with everything, God looks at the individual and it makes a difference. We are going to make some applications later on. But here's the point. No matter what everybody else is doing, it makes a difference what I do. Because God is capable of seeing the big picture and the little one. He's able to see the one dege dege person who is doing right. who is following in his precepts. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How is Patrick Gardens doing as a congregation? Well, let's say it's doing terrible. As a member of this congregation, I can do well as an individual. Yes. Because while God looks at the congregation, he looks at the big picture, he can see the individual as well. But we'll come back to that. But let's say Patrick City is doing great. You know, when God looks at the congregation, he says, wonderful. In the midst of him looking and seeing this congregation as doing excellent, he's still looking at the individual Christian in the congregation, and he's also assessing the individual. So the congregation can be doing well, but I am doing terrible. The congregation can be doing terrible, but let us respect the word of God, his will, and as a Christian in a congregation awry, well, not too awry, but God will see you. But we'll come back to that. But what is the point we have just made? We have seen that God, looking at the entire earth and makes a grand pronouncement about it, but then he found grace in Noah. And guess what? He put things in place to make sure that Noah would be saved, as long as he conformed to his directions, his will. You know, in this case, what he asked Noah to do, build an ark. Noah was obedient. Yes, he was. Well, did he build any ark? No, he didn't. He did it according to the pattern that was given to him. And so it is that if it is that all the brothers fail to study and teach you wrong as a congregation, as an individual, you have a responsibility to check the word of God and to correct the brothers who have gotten it wrong. As an individual. Because you can't say, well, is the entire church and is the church caused me not to be saved? You have been equipped with the word of God. It is your responsibility to hold on to it. Can I leave Genesis in our quest to get to Revelation? But let me make a stop in the time when Jesus Christ was on earth. And we want to go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we are going to be introduced to a woman. Let's pick up at verse 45. Luke chapter 8, we're picking up at verse 45.
And Jesus said, who touched me?
All right. So here you had Jesus Christ in a crowd. Whole lot of persons. This woman, she wasn't well. And her belief was of such that she believed that if she touched the garment of Jesus Christ, it could make a difference. And guess what? She did it. She touched him. And Jesus Christ Says what?
When all denied. Sorry, who touched me?
Jesus Christ said or asked, who touched me? When all denied.
When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou.
Stop. So Paul says, but Jesus, what's going on here? The pressure is getting to you. You're in a crowd with a whole lot of people. They're pressing. And you are asking, who touched me? That's a ridiculous question. What did Jesus say? And Jesus said,
Somebody.
Jesus said, somebody. What were we talking? What was Peter's contention? Multitude. That was Peter's contention. Multitude.
Yes.
Crowd of people. That's what Peter saw. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, somebody. In the midst of the crowd, Jesus Christ felt somebody. And so I'm putting it to us that right through our interaction with the Almighty God, while he sees the big picture, while he sees the multitude, while he sees the crowd, God sees the somebody. He sees the individual. And in this case, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Jesus Christ, God, sees the somebody. Sees the individual. I say, Jesus Christ sees us. Verse 47.
And when the woman saw that she was not hid.
So she realized she never get, though she did it secretly, it was out now in the open. Can remember now, when Jesus had inquired first, everybody denied. I sort of interested that this denial and his Peter jump up and talk. That's all right. But here it is that she now indicated that she had done something. She came trembling and falling down
before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. Oh, she was healed immediately.
So not only is it that God sees the individual in the midst of the crowd, but God will address the needs of the individual. Sometimes we are going through challenges and, you know, we sort of say, well, I don't even know if I want to pray about this because I can look and see other people with worse situation. I mean, I almost feel like, why am I complaining about my little finger hurt me? When somebody else that struggle with something, them whole hand gone. But what's the point? God sees each of us as an individual. And in his will and according to his purpose, he will address the needs of the individual. He will. Can I reach Revelation now? So we spoke to somebody long before Christ was here. While Christ was here, we see the same disposition. What's that disposition again? While the multitude while the entire earth, while a great crowd is in the presence of God and has the attention of God, he still sees the individual. I want to jump to Revelation, and I want to introduce to you the church of Thyatira. And this is an interesting congregation. And we see John writing to this congregation in Revelation chapter 2. And he writes, beginning at verse 18 of chapter 2, he says,
"And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write."
Okay, so John is now writing, you know, he's writing to the seven churches of Asia. And he gets to Thyatira, and he's now writing to them, and he says,
"These things say the Son of God."
"These things say the Son of God,
Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire."
Yes.
"And his feet are like fine brass."
Yes.
"I know thy works."
So here is, in fact, you know, right through to the seven churches, you know, there are certain common themes. You say, "I know thy works," you know, "Who are thy ear to ear? Let him hear." These are some common statements being made. Now, in respect to Thyatira, he says, "I know thy works."
"And charity."
"I know your charity." Love.
And service.
"I know thy works, thy love, your service."
"And faith."
"I know your faith." This is a lovely congregation. You know? Yeah, man, this is a congregation you want to be in. This is a congregation that, you know, the works are good works. You know, charity. There's service in this congregation. There's faith in this congregation. Anything else?
"Patience."
"I know thy patience."
"And the last to be more."
Wait. It works on top of works. Because it's that "I know thy works." And it comes out and says "thy works" again. So this congregation looks like they're working. You know, it was a politician that says, "Working, working, working." This sounds like a good congregation. A congregation at work. "Thy works." "And?"
"And the last to be more than the first."
So not only are they working and working, but your last is more than your first. You know what that is pointing to? Growth. This is a growing church. You know, charity is there, faith is there, service is there, patience is there. They are working, they are growing. This is the congregation to which John is writing. Verse 20.
Notwithstanding.
What a thing. After all of that, notwithstanding. But you know, I want to say this to us. As individuals as well as congregations, even when things are good, remember, we have an enemy called Satan. And he's going to be looking for something. The Bible encourages us to examine ourselves daily, whether we are in the faith. So even when things are going good, be on the watch out. Be on the lookout. Because we are not perfect. We are work in progress. And so even though this commendation is given, we get a nonetheless. Read on.
"Notwithstanding," "I have a few things against thee."
"I have a few things against thee."
"Because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel."
Stop. in the midst of this congregation, strong, working, loving, charitable, working congregation, growing congregation, you had somebody, Jezebel. So in a congregation that's doing things, don't believe you can do any and anything and you just get covered. You as an individual Christian in the congregation must be doing the right thing too. It's not the entire congregation that is going to go to heaven, but it is the individuals in the congregation that's practicing and doing the things that God wants that will get to heaven. So even though this was the commendation, somebody was off, and God saw it. Just as he saw it with the people in the days of Noah, just like how he saw an individual in the crowd, in this congregation in Thyatira, a good, strong, growing congregation, Jesus Christ, God, saw an individual who went awry. But God, if your entire summary of the congregation is good, you know, can't overlook the one person. The person can't get lost in the crowd, man. Can say, you know, this congregation is strong and growing and I'm a part of it, so I must get saved too. No. And here is the dilemma. Depending on how the congregation treats with the somebody who is awry, it can bring condemnation on the congregation overall. So when it is that the congregation knows something to be right, teaches it, and somebody goes away from it, it is important for us to take appropriate stands. We can't condone wrong. Can't say, hey, you know, we are a loving congregation, you know. What did it say about Thyatira? Charity. You know, we love. And because we love, we're going to just put up with things that that one does. So here it is. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. What? Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. In this case, to commit fornication. But once we have a rogue member, somebody causing division, somebody trampling on truth with the wrong type of attitude, not taking teaching, we have to take a stance. We have to rebuke, because it's going to affect the entire congregation. Overall, God saw the congregation as good, you know. But this person's action and the implications and the result tarnished the good report. But thank God, he gives us the opportunity to repent. He gives us the opportunity to change and to make things right. But the point is that while God sees the entire congregation in a positive light, he sees the somebody who is off. But let's do the flip on that. This notwithstanding, that caused many to be drawn away. What we see is that God now has a plan of action in respect to that person or persons who fall into that category. Pick up at verse 22.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed.
I will cast her into a bed.
And them that commit adultery with her. Into
so not only her, but all of those who have been drawn into her arrow. Into great tribulation.
Except they repent of their deeds.
So here is it. We must always extend that opportunity for persons to repent. Amen. How are they going to get to a state to repent? We have to teach them. We have to bring awareness to it. And we have to do it in a spirit of love. But the Bible says, lest we too fall. Because today we're strong, we don't know what angle the devil is going to hit us at another day. And what he hits one person with and is successful is not necessarily that he's going to hit us with. But here is the outcome, verse 23. And I will kill her children
with death.
With death.
And all the churches shall know.
And all the churches shall know
that I am he.
I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. These are some serious judgment that is being passed on. But there's a but. There's a but coming in verse 24.
But
I want you to realize that right through and through, we keep getting this contrast. We saw it in Noah. You know, we saw earlier, notwithstanding. You see the contrast? Here we're seeing now, you know, we're going to kill. We're going to destroy. But 24 says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put none other burden. What are we seeing here? If the entire congregation gets drawn into error, inspiration is saying to us, as many as have not conformed. So the congregation is drawn and seduced and pulled into error. But you, the individual, you that somebody who does not get drawn into the false teaching and the false practice, God is saying, I will not pass judgment on you as an individual. Because I am looking at your works. I am looking at you, the individual. I will not put on you any burden as I would be putting on those who are guilty. So what we are seeing is that it happens two sides. If things are going good and you are not, then God is going to see you. If things are going bad but you are doing good, God is going to see you. And that is the principle that we have seen from Genesis to Revelation. That God Almighty sees the world, sees the multitude, sees the crowd, but he sees each of us as individuals. Amen. So what does this have to do with anything? What does this have to do with me as a congregation? Well, we can make some applications. Does the congregation give? Well, let's say the congregation gives well. Does God care that me, that you, as an individual member in the congregation, doesn't? Yes, he sees what the entire congregation does, but he sees what we do as an individual as well. Let's say the congregation does not give well. Let's say we rob God. That's the same thing. Don't give well, rob God. The same thing. Yeah. Well, me not giving no whole heap of money, or I'm not giving what I'm supposed to give because I know others not giving. Should that be our posture? No. Because God is seeing the congregation in its error, but he's also seeing what you do. And I could step through the acts of worship, the communion, how we sing, to what extent we study, what happens in prayer. God is seeing the individual. We have the street meeting. Am I there? You know, one of the things I think that is very good, Brother Mitchell, we started probably late 2023 or early 2024, and we made a commitment. And I think we can truly say every single month we have had the street meeting consistently. That's a good thing. So that's a good thing that we are doing as a congregation with the help of Brother Kidu and the others. They have been consistent too. But as an individual, have I done well? It was a good commentary that Sister Campbell, having been away from the congregation because of ill health for months and years, that on her death, there was a reaching out to the congregation because visitation was seen and felt by caregivers and the family. So if there's a pocket of us that is visiting, that's good. Does God care if I, as an individual, is visiting or not? He does care. He does see. So we can't get lost in the crowd. Can I leave the message right here? You get the message? God sees the crowd. God sees the multitude. God sees the congregation. But he also sees us.